الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about the means of getting close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, the means of connecting with Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala Jalla Jalaluhu. And in that, is talking about, we talked, spoke about the issue of eating halal and earning halal. Eating halal, to the best of my ability, I covered that yesterday. I think the basic principle is to remember to avoid the doubtful. I think that's one principle. If you remember, that's everything else is simple. So anything which is doubtful, don't touch it. What is not doubtful, you know what to do. We come to the issue of earning halal. A man came into the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi was sitting there. He prayed two rakat of salah and he was making dua. And he was making dua loudly, Ya Allah, give me this, Ya Allah, give me that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, obviously he knew him. So he said to the sahaba who were with him, he said, how can this man expect this dua to be accepted when his food is haram, his earning is haram, his clothes are haram, his whole life is filled with haram? Now, this tells us a very important thing, which is that for acceptance of dua, halal earning and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a primary condition. The only dua for which obedience is not a condition, meaning even then obedience is a condition, because that's the dua that happens when a person becomes conscious of the need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the dua which we call tawbah. So when a person is making tawbah, he is not making tawbah on the basis of good actions, he is making tawbah because he became aware of his bad actions and he wants to change them. So any dua, the precondition of the acceptance of dua is that one should be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, one can of course make dua, there's nothing to stop you from making dua no matter what kind of condition you are in. But if somebody feels that they can blatantly and shamelessly disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and still have their ibadat and duas accepted, then they are only fooling themselves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of your ibadah and Allah is not in need of your dua. Dua itself is ibadah. So why will Allah accept that? When you who need the obedience of Allah, when you who need the ibadat of Allah, when you are not concerned about that, why do you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be concerned about something which he does not even need? So obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately, something we do out of ghaflat, something we do because we forgot, something we do by mistake, these are different things. But knowingly, I know this is haram, but I will do it. Now this is, as I say, there is a difference between a mistake and a crime. The action is the same, but a mistake is forgivable, a crime is culpable, it is punishable. And the only difference is the deliberateness with which it is done, intention. A mistake is a mistake. If you, may Allah protect you all from all kinds of accidents, but if you have an accident and you accidentally kill somebody, even though the person died, it is a mistake. So you will not go to jail or you will not be hanged or anything like this. You know, whatever is to be paid will be paid and the matter is over. It's called manslaughter, it's not called murder. But if there is a person on the road which you know the person, you wanted to kill him and you lined up your car and slammed him and he died, and this can be proven that you deliberately killed the man by running him down, this is a cognizable offense, and the punishment of that, at least in this country, is death. Action is the same. You hit somebody with your car, there's no difference. What makes one a capital offense and what makes one something which is not an offense at all? The fact that one was done deliberately and the other one happened accidentally. It's not your intention, you never wanted to do that, it just happened. Even though there is a consequence, even though some loss happened, it is not treated as a crime. It's a mistake. And they apply the same thing. Somebody knows something is haram, but still does it. compared to somebody who was doing it because he didn't know, or even if he knew, he was not aware, he thought it's okay. You know, many people, for example, they know it is that alcohol is haram, but sometimes people drink. Now, obviously, this is not good, it is haram, there is no question of drinking, but I am saying there is a difference between other than somebody else who said, no, ye to karna hai. Now, earning, therefore, is a very, very, earning halal is an absolutely critical element of the acceptance of dua. If you think about this, there is only one crime or offense in the Quran, only one, for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war in His name and in the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam against the person committing that crime. What is that crime? Is it kufr? No. Is it shirk? No. Even though shirk is inna shirka la zulmun azim, the worst of the crimes is shirk. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not declare war on the person committing shirk. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if a person dies in that state, not in his lifetime, if he dies in a state of shirk or dies in a state of kufr, then there is punishment for him. Right? In this dunya, also there will be punishment, but Allah may forgive and so on and so on. Allah did not declare this term of declaring war. It's not on zina, it is not on alcohol, it is not on gambling, it is not on any of these things which we mentioned yesterday. Now, that does not mean that these things are good. We are just saying that in terms of punishment for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not go to the extent of saying Allah declares war on the person committing that crime. What is the only thing on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war? Interest-based earnings. Riba. Only thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war against the person who is involved in that transaction. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the meaning of being involved in the transaction? He said, the one who is lending the money, the one who is borrowing the money, and the one who is witnessing that transaction. Now imagine, the one lending the money, one can understand, he lent the money on interest, he should not be doing it. The one borrowing the money, you might say, well, you know, he should not be borrowing it. You might give some excuse and say, well, you know, poor fellow, he needed it. But what about the one who is witnessing, that person who is witnessing this transaction, meaning that he is writing the receipt or he is acting as a witness in this particular transaction. He neither borrowed the money nor did he lend the money. But our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam included him with these two, with the lender and the borrower. So what does it mean? It means that any form of interest, whether in lending or in borrowing, or being party to such a transaction, makes you among the people on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu declared war. Right? Now, the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, is very clearly. Allah declares war on the one who does this. Now, the point is, think about this. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that this declaration of war is on the mushrikeen or the kuffar or the non-Muslims who are doing this? Did He say this? No. The non-Muslims who are doing this, if they die in a state without Islam, in any case they are in Jahannam. So where is the question of war or no war? So this war is on whom? On Muslims. What is the meaning of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Seriously ask this question. What is the meaning of war, accepting a declaration of war? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the day of judgment, those dealing in interest, meaning those who lent money, those who borrowed money, and those who witnessed the transaction, they will be placed before the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and swords will be given in their hand, and they will be told, here is the one with whom you accepted the declaration of war, now go and fight. Go and fight. What is the meaning of declaration of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? it means Jahannam. Simple as that. So now you can say, well, you know, I am doing so much of charity. Please understand, there is no charity from haram. You must say, you may be saying, I am paying zakat. There is no zakat on haram. So you can, if you have haram income, you can give charity from morning till night. It is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and He accepts only that which is pure. This concept that I can give some money, throw some money at God and He will go away, this is a Hindu concept. That is why you will find that a lot of Hindu businessmen build temples. Why do they build temples? To wash their sins. So I am doing all kinds of tamasha in my business, but I will build a temple. I will give so much of gold to this god, and so much of I will put a crown on the idol in Tirupati, and I will do this here and do that there. This is a Hindu concept, it is not a Muslim concept. Because Muslims accept and understand the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is the owner of everything in any case. You can't throw money at God. You can't give money to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a fakir, nauz billah, that he needs your money. हम ये खैरात का काम कर रहे हैं किसके ऊपर एहसान कर रहे तुम किसी पे एहसान नहीं कर रहे मत करो इफ योर इनकम इज हराम नो अमाउंट ऑफ चैरिटी दैट यू गिव इज ऑफ एनी यूज टू यू इट इज ऑल ट्रैश एज फार एज अल्लाह इज कंसर्न बिकॉज अल्लाह डज नॉट एक्सेप्ट समथिंग विच इज नॉट प्योर. So if the income is haram, the charity is not accepted. If the income is haram, the ibadat is not accepted. Worship is not accepted. If the income is haram, your dua is not accepted. If the income is haram, and especially interest income, I'm saying this, I mean, haram is in many ways. Taking bribes is haram, giving bribes is haram, all of this is haram. Please understand, not only deceiving people is haram. The issue of advertising and of promising more than you can deliver. You said, I will give this, you have not given that. That is haram. But the worst of it is the issue of interest. Now think about this. Who are the biggest borrowers among Muslims? One can say there is one person who was literally in a state where this person is dying of hunger. He has got no income. He has got nothing. Right? So he borrowed some money from somebody. And that person, instead of helping him, he is charging him an interest. What can this man do? He is going to, otherwise he will have to beg in the street. That's one case. Tell me, how many people do you know who are borrowing for this reason? I don't even know one. Why do we borrow? To buy new cars, to build houses. Car is not worth. Use a taxi, use an auto rickshaw, walk, even better for you. Buy a cycle. Buy a second-hand car. Building a house. Who said building a house is first? Live in a rented house. Building a house is in any case bad use of capital anyway. Because the house that you are living in is zero earning for you. So from a financial perspective, to build your own house and own your own house is the worst use of capital. Far better to live in a rented house. You can write the rent off against your taxes. Live in a rent, what's the problem? Live in a rented house. I'm just saying that, I'm not saying it's haram to build. I'm saying if you are borrowing money for that reason, you want to buy war with Allah to build your own house. So why do we borrow for cars? We borrow for houses. We borrow for all kinds of trash which we keep in our houses. You must need a 60-inch television. For what? You want to walk through that? And go into another world. We borrow money to fulfill our desires. And the other reason we borrow money is for business. Some banker will come and karma sur phukta hone. He will come and give this advice. You've got these assets, leverage the assets. Why do you want to use that? Give it to the bank will give you 10 times that. We'll charge an interest, it's no problem, you can pay it off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, stay within that means, keep it halal, Allah will give you barakah in that. But no, you listen to the banker, you don't want to listen to the Nabi. So you borrow money. So now, until now you had halal income, alhamdulillah. And you were not starving, you were not dying, you still lived in a good house, you still had a good car, you still had a good life, you had whatever food you wanted, you went on a holiday when you want, all this was already happening. But then you go and borrow money. Why? Because you listen to this banker and he puts this great picture of how your business will grow and this will happen and that will happen. Wo shekh chilli ka hissa hai, pura. So now what happened? Your halal income became haram. Your name was put into the list of people who have declared, who have accepted the declaration of war from Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now you were eating halal, your children were eating halal, your whole family was eating halal, every cent you gave in charity was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you were getting at least 700 times the reward. Everything became zero. Your charity has become trash, has become zero. Your children are eating haram because of you. You are eating haram because of yourself. And then you die in that state, and you will be resurrected as an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad Rasulullah, and Allah only knows what will happen to you. That time go look for your banker. Seriously, go look for your banker whose advice you accepted. Ajib. This is the musibat of interest-based earning and interest-based borrowing and interest-based lending. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, inshallah. But today, seriously, those who are involved in such transactions, do not let the night come today until you get out of the transaction. Whatever it takes, if you have a modicum of iman, and if you have any belief at all that you will die, then get out of the transaction now, now, now. And don't let the banker tell you this loss, that loss. All of that loss is nothing compared to being listed as an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sense and enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.